In our lifetime, we have many privileges. And we can read about the privileges of people as we read in The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews. And she became a monk. She became a nun, but she became a monk for all practical purposes. And she lived in her monastery. And in that monastery, from time to time, girls would come, and they would have it up to here. You know, their life was a tragedy, and so they go to the monastery. Do you understand that? Their life is a tragedy, so they go to the monastery. And then in the monastery, the program provides them with strengthening experiences that helps to build up their own innate beingness. And some of them are unable to take it, because that happens to be their nature, that they're unable to take it. And because they're unable to take it, then they get all upset, all uptight, and they run away, which they're free to do. The gate is always open from the inside. From the outside, it's locked, you know, but from the inside, they can always get out if they wish to. So, they run away. Now, when they do this, nobody feels sad for them. They just know that if they had stayed, they could have accomplished the goal that they had for themselves. Now, we have had a number of people coming to the monastery here, seeking their spiritual illumination. And actually, what most people come to the monastery for are miracles. They go to Lourdes for miracles. They don't go to Lourdes because they want to become spiritually illumined. No. I mean, don't get that strange idea in your mind. If they go there to become spiritually illumined, they stay and study, you know. They stay and train. But they go there because they want a miracle, and they want that. And that's what people come here for, too. And the people who have been here in the past have come here for that very purpose. They wanted to have a miracle take place in their life and make them spiritually illumined. And when they leave here, they're not spiritually illumined. They could be. They know the techniques, they know the programs, they know everything. But until you apply it, it means nothing. Now, in the past months, you have met Brad, and you have seen Brad as a normal handyman. Not good, not bad, just normal. Sort of careless sometimes, and sometimes sincere, and sometimes not sincere. And in all of that, he has been close to us, seeing how the monastery looks almost from the inside. Because he's working here and he sees how we respond to each other, and he sees how we live our life and how we practice what we do. And so he thought, hey, I have a few problems in my life. Maybe they can perform a miracle for me. You hear that? Mm-hmm. Now, we don't perform miracles here. You perform your own miracle. So Brad came, and in the process of coming, we, like a bunch of children in a family, have to tell the new kid all the facts of the family, all of the intricacies of the family, all of the hang-ups of the family. And as Brad remarked to me a number of times, he says, I thought you didn't have any problems here. I thought you were all masters here. But each one of you chose to be your normal human self rather than your unconditionally loving self. And you let that come out, and that, of course, made Brad feel insecure. Now, I'm not saying that you're his problem. I'm just saying you're your problem. Now, Brad came here and became a monk for 3 weeks, 2 weeks. And 2 weeks, wasn't it? And in that two-week period, he made a drastic change in his personality from a person who had no respect for himself, a person who had no control over his habit or habits, and a person who felt that the best thing to do in life was to somehow get high. And he thought perhaps he was going to have a spiritual high here, which he did. So he was here, and he saw what he wanted to see with me. He saw someone who cared for him unconditionally, who didn't expect him to do anything and who didn't expect him not to do anything, only to follow what he agreed to do. And so he was here. Now, in the process, we started to load him down with other aspects of spiritual life. And we loaded him down with aspects of spiritual life that he was not yet ready to take. And we have lots of people who come here who have that same experience. They are unable to follow the spiritual path in the technique that we offer here. And so they run away. And you have each run away. You have each run away. You say, no, we didn't run away, we were sent away. No, you ran away. I said, do not be picky on each other, and you continue to be picky on each other. And I said, start unconditionally loving each other, and you started unconditionally finding all that you could to be miserable with each other about. And so I said, if you do not want to follow the program of the monastery, go away. You see, then you said, I'm willing to follow the program of the monastery, and you came back. And that's great. That's great. Now, here we are, having all been here in this philosophy for many years, and we treated a baby like an adult. And in treating a baby like an adult, the baby got overkill and died. And it's shame. The baby may, we may have other babies. The same baby may reincarnate. The same baby may come back and want to follow the program again. But let us remember, if we cannot stop and bless the water in our house so that it shines forth in its crystalline form, how can we bless anybody else? How can we be a blessing to anything if we cannot bless ourselves? So let us practice this unconditional love program that I established for you here. I'm not saying I'm superior to you. I never say anything like that. I say I'm working on these things as a continual basis too, because there are times that you feel a sensitivity toward other people as a very human way. And we don't do that here. What we do here is we have principle, and we live according to principle. And each one of you is enjoying your life or hating your life according to you, whatever you deserve. And you deserve to hate your life if you put the cause in motion to hate your life. Do you hear me? And you deserve to love your life and thoroughly have happiness in every moment of your life if you put the principle to work. Now, the principle of hate is what? To find fault. The principle of love is what?
To find love.
Right? Yes. Right? Right? Hey, you too. And you too, puppies. Is it to find love? So, if our program is not to find love, then we have a problem. Now, should Brad choose to come back and be a monk once again with us, after his first trial balloon gave him just more than he could chew at the time, should he choose to do that, or should anyone choose to do that, should anyone come here, we have to realize that we are their surrogate mothers or surrogate parents, and we have to let them grow up into the program. Because if on the outside they were not persons of integrity, they were not persons of responsibility, they were not persons of following a program, they're not going to instantly be becoming that just because they come here, because we're not too good an example much of the time. Now, all you care about, you understand this? All you care about is yourself. If you love yourself unconditionally, you'll love everybody else like that. If you love yourself unconditionally, you don't care if other people are going to hell. You don't care if other people choose not to do what you know is right. And even if your best buddy, even if somebody who is on the same plane as you are, struggling to be aware of their divinity, acts like a jerk, you do not care, because unconditionally loving, you see them as unconditionally loving. Because if you see them as a jerk, that means you're a jerk. That means you are seeing them as unconditionally loving, so you're not unconditionally loving. Yeah, it's a hard task. It's really tough. I mean, it puts all the responsibility right on us for everything. Now, we have talked over the years about being independently wealthy. Yeah, sounds great, doesn't it? We talked about being independently. We teach being independently wealthy to people. We tell people, you know, I'm independently wealthy and live in that consciousness. Well, are we experiencing independently wealth? To a degree, yes. To a degree, everything we have is paid for. Everything we have is wonderful. We have our tax exemption. It's a church corporation. We're operating as a wonderful church. We're operating as a wonderful organization. But it would be nice to have a little more fluid cash go through here. You know. Now, how can that happen? How can we have independent wealth? I'm independently wealthy. How can we do that when we don't believe that we're independently wealthy? When we're worried about where the money's coming from, and we want to slip aside a little $5 here, a little $10 there, and hide it, and have it in case we want to use it for something. That's just stupid. And I know all about it. I know all about it. Nobody does anything around here that I'm not fully aware of. Even if you do it in your secret, I don't judge you on it, because that's where you are. But I do know. And when you no longer do that, in my heart I say, hooray, hooray. And I work with you lovingly on your next step. And that's wonderful. You know, we don't want to stay in the same step of wanting to be independently wealthy, wanting to be independently wealthy, wanting to be. We are independently wealthy. Now let's go on to the next step and be spiritually illumined. You might say that would have been a better step in the beginning than independently wealthy. But anyhow, being independently wealthy, being spiritually illumined, being master. Now, let me ask you, when a teacher has a student that does not follow the rules and does not do what the student can do because the student is so talented, so capable, the teacher says, oh my God, and the child would just apply himself a little bit, you know. And no, you see, the teacher is totally wrong. The teacher is totally at fault. If the teacher were to say to themselves, that child is a genius, that child is applying themselves, that child is doing wonderfully, and then the teacher would motivate the teacher's self to share with the child in such a way that it motivates the child to apply itself, to be itself, wonderful. That's what teachers are there, not to teach rote, not to teach 2 times 2 is 4. They're to teach you like yourself. You are a genius. You have within you this magical, mystical, wonderful awareness of all knowledge. And you are just revealing it. That's what the teacher's purpose is for. And that's what my purpose is for here in the monastery. That's what my purpose is for in life. It's just to guide people to reveal that which is already within them, the allness. Now, you each are taking opportunities to train in these fields of being a perfect teacher. First to yourself, saying to yourself, I'm an illumined master. I am a spiritual illumined being. And act like it under all circumstances. And then you create around you. What do you create around you? Don't you? What do you create around you? You create around you your mirrors. And everybody is a mirror of who you are. And if you're so good, they're good. And if you're not so good, they're not so good. Because they're your mirror. They reflect back what you are. And so if you are a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious person, the mirror is going to shine that back. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the most intelligent of all? Oh, you Herb always, you know that. Okay. I mean, you kind of getting good rapport with your mirror. See, my mirrors like me. My mirrors are—I keep them polished, you know, and I keep them all dusted, and I tell them, "I love you, mirror. I love you, mirror," you know. And the mirror just shines back at me and says, "I love you too. I love you too. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. Oh, Herb, you're just the nicest, greatest guy." And you say, "Herb, you are sick." No, that's what it's all about. Have your mirror say those things to you. When you look in the mirror, don't see something that needs improvement. See something that's super fantastic. See the charisma. When Brad came here, he had, not at first, but after he was here for a couple of days, he developed his charisma. He released it. And he was a beguiling fellow. He's very fetching. He made you love him. You just wanted to cuddle him and say, "Hey, you're a super guy. You're a super boy, you know. And you're like my son, you know." And but the thing is, we forgot that he had to come into the awareness of who he was. And instead of us just seeing him fantastic all the time, we started putting burdens on his shoulder, weights that he couldn't quite handle, the weight of responsibility. He had run away from many centers, as you well know, where he was being trained to accomplish what he wanted to train, and he couldn't stay there because he couldn't wait to get away from the responsibility of being himself. And you are the same way, each one of you. You've run away from this monastery 100 zillion times. 100 zillion times, my God. That means every minute we're running away. That's right, you are. You're running away from the principles that we teach. And the principles we teach work. Every person who walks on this campus ground sees here a spiritual center of love and peace and harmony. And if we don't have love and peace and harmony in our spirit, in our beingness, in our outpicturing, nobody's going to see that. People are going to come. Why do you think that those tons of drugs were laid at our doorstep? Not once, but several times. And we had to call the Border Patrol and say, "Hey, Border Patrol, come pick up this junk. We don't want that near our house here." But why did we attract them? Why did we create those people? Because we had a bad image of ourselves. We had a bad idea of ourselves. We thought, we're superior to this sort of thing, you know. You know? And we're not superior to anything. Hey, we create in our world only what we are. And we created those drugs in our world. Not that we took part of them or smoked them or did anything with them, but they were there, right at the edge of our property. And that's because we created them. Now, we say everyone who walks on this property is blessed. Well, what do? We put up no trespassing signs. We put up blockages and say this is not to be used for biking trails and stuff like that. And you see, all we're doing is giving the wrong image. Would you smoke a cigarette in the church? Would you take a bottle of scotch in the church and sit at the altar and talk to the priest drinking the scotch? Or the minister or anybody else? You have an innate respect for the sanctuary. Well, let this university grounds here, the monastery grounds, it's a sanctuary. Let it be in your heart, in your mind, such a sanctuary that it is that you're not keeping people from doing things. You're saying this is what people do when they come here. They became introspective. They became a loving center to themselves. You understand? See, this is terribly important. It's terribly important. For who are we within ourselves? When you come in my house, the Hermitage, what do you feel? You feel relaxed. You feel peaceful. You feel like you want to sit down and talk. Yeah. And it's kind of nice, isn't it? And you look at my desk and you say, "My God, Herb, don't you ever clean off the top of your desk?" Well, just one project comes after another project, and I never get to any of them, so they just stack up there, you know. And I could take them and brush them in a wastebasket and start over again, and I'd never miss anything. But that's okay. That's okay. And my letters that get mostly answered are the internet letters. And I think, hey, you know, we should really be an internet organization, internet university, with just emails. And nobody can contact us in any way but by internet and by email. And it's what it'll come in the very near future. This will come. And we can just be ahead of the time. Because I look at my email the first thing in the morning, I answer it right away, and boom, it's done. And I have a stack of letters that don't always get answered right away because I have other things that I let take precedence. But you see, isn't that wonderful? Now, what does the email say to you? If you don't answer me, I'm liable to get lost. and you may never find me. And then you want to answer me. And then you say, what was that one I wanted to answer? You know, and you might make a copy of it and so over. But it, boom, it's done and over with. Ellen sent me a statement last night, and so, zoom, right away I made amendment to it and added my point of view. And down here you'll notice, Ellen, it says what? It says, I am unconditionally loving. I am an unconditional lover, on the back, next page. Mm-hmm. I am an unconditional lover. I am unconditionally loving. And you see, sometimes we write it in a to-do statement or in a hope statement, you know, and we only want to practice the is statement, right? Okay. Now, there will be many more Brads in our life. Maybe even Brad will be more in our life. But what we want to do is to recognize that every single person in our world is our mirror. And if that person has a problem, we got a problem. If that person is pure as the white-driven snow, then that's the way we are. And if that person is not as pure as the white-driven snow, soot, dust, chuck, you know, then that's who we are. And let's always remember. And it is not something we have to do. If this organization closed today, would we have touched the lives of people? Yes. This organization does not need to close today. It can go on eternally. But it cannot go on if we feel superior to others. If we feel that what we have to offer is so important. What we have to offer is so glorious that we just got to keep talking about it and keep living it and keep expressing it. That's what it's all about. And if somebody in our midst goofs, instead of saying, they goofed, they're terrible, we say, bless you. I goofed because I saw it. You see? Now, I know everything that goes on in this property. I know where panels are left uncovered. I know where covers are not put on. I know where people have not done things. I know where toilets are not flushed. And I know all these things. And you think, Herb, what a bunch of junk you got in your mind. No. I don't judge them. I just know so that should some little child come along and touch an open circuitry board and get killed, that would never happen. Because I know, as I work with the people to be responsible and take care of these things and do them right, step by step by step, never going beyond their capacity, as I have said to you, one at a time, two maybe, but never more, step by step by step, then let them start something and finish it. Start something and finish it. Start something and finish it. And if we don't have the stuff for the job to be started and finished, don't start the job. And so take each little job step by step and don't be unhappy with it. Now, we are the masters and we see it done and we have intelligence. We're living in this human world and you like to eat, you like to eat, you like to eat, and I like to eat. And so what do? We prepare our meals and we prepare our meals lovingly. Now, if someone comes in late for a meal, we don't say, you're late for the meal, that's just too bad, you don't eat, you know. We say, let me warm it up in the microwave for you. Just take a minute. And it's just as hot as can be. Now, we don't say, you should have been here. We don't say things like that. Because all we're doing is to say then that we have not created a family harmonious around the board here who wants to sit together at the table and eat harmoniously together and have a good time, you know? So, you see, it's our reflection. It's our creation. And whatever we have is our creation, our reflection. Now, I'm going to tell you something that may surprise you. Each of you have come to this organization and this activity because you like yourself and you want to live in an atmosphere where you can always be liking yourself and having a good time. That's why you're here. You are not here to run the University of Healing or to run the monastery or to run the monastery buildings, you know, or the organization. You're not here because we have six houses and retreats and 104 acres and all that. You're not here because of that. You're here because you're having fun being yourself. And everything you do here is having fun and being yourself. And if we should ever decide, hey, I don't want to be a caretaker for all this, then just close it and forget it. And if you say, I don't want to have that much responsibility, just leave it be. Leave it be. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If the time comes when you want to use it, then revive it. Call it forth. But meanwhile, don't let it panic you. Don't let it overburden you with feeling that you have to do this. Now, Sylvia feels she has to go over and turn on the water at the oasis to water some of the trees and plants, and she finds that a very lovely little gesture that she does for herself, and that's fine. But that takes time. And it's fine, though, if it pleases you. You love to go over to the Shangri-La, and you love to water the plants around there, and nobody sees the plants, but you do. And when they're beautiful, you enjoy them, and does that matter? Now, what if they didn't get watered and they all died? Which they did. And then you came along with your complete ignorance. You don't realize that dead plants don't come alive. And so you squirt water on it just as though they're alive and they're happy and you bless them and then bloop, up they plop. You know, up they come with flowers and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. This land has been here millions and zillions of years before we ever came. And it existed beautifully and wonderfully. And we came and we put our stamp on it. Now, let's not worry about it. Let's just flow with it. But do whatever we agreed to do. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
And do you understand why it's so important to cool it and not be possessed by your possessions? And that's what we do, don't we? We're possessed by our possessions. And now, with the final point. We are not here to show off to anybody else. Because if you think you have to clean the carpet for people who are coming, then I don't want to live in your presence. If you think that you clean the carpet because you like a clean carpet,
yes,
I love you. But if you clean the carpet because we're having company, I have no interest in you whatsoever. If you think you have to wash the windows because we're having company, well, aren't you worthy of washed windows?
Yes.
Aren't you worthy of having washed windows and having clean household stuff? Look at this here. All the dog noses all over our windows here, you know. All the dog noses. Now, kind of nice, isn't it? Makes you feel sort of homey, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's a good idea to wash it. But you see, this is why we're here. We're here to be ourselves and have fun. And we're here not to be possessed by our possessions. So, today, with me, live in the now and let go of all things. Do the things you're scheduling yourself to do, but do it now because it's fun, and do it because you love it, and do not associate with anybody in the world unless you love yourself. and love them as your reflection. Because everybody is here as a lover. And if you don't see them as a lover, you're not a lover. If you don't see them as fabulous, you're not fabulous. And as far as I'm concerned, you guys got a problem because I see you all as lovers and fabulous and wonderful, and I'm that way too. Okay, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you.